is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, giving birth to three babies left me with gnarled, enlarged, bluish veins that look like a road map to nowhere all over my legs. But varicose veins can happen to anyone of either gender, and for a variety of reasons. Well, here with more on this is Dr. Palma Shaw, Associate Professor of Surgery in the Division of Vascular and Endovascular Surgery at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Shaw. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start by understanding, what do we actually mean when we say varicose veins? What are they?
Varicose veins are dilated superficial veins, often seen on the lower extremities, that may be worsened over time with age, generally not present when you're very young, and as you're older, you may be developing them. They may be bothersome to people, or they may not be problematic at all. It depends upon the person and depends upon other factors, such as whether or not they've had children, depends upon family history, it depends upon what their job is. People who stand on their feet all day are at greater risk of having symptoms related to the varicose veins.
So let's get to that exactly. So what exactly will cause them? I mean, you said they don't show up when you're young, but there have to be causative factors. I mean, in my case, three pregnancies brought them on. But is there a genetic predisposition to this?
There is. Frequently, patients who have varicose veins may have had a parent or a relative that has had varicose veins as well. Varicose veins are problematic because they dilate. And when they dilate, the little valves that help the blood move forward in a certain direction can no longer really prevent the blood from backfilling. So then when you're standing on your feet all day and if the valves aren't working, the blood is actually sort of pooling down in your legs. And over time, the legs don't particularly appreciate that. And it may cause muscle cramping or achiness or fatigue of the legs over time.
So does aging increase your risk as well? I mean, you mentioned that it doesn't really show up when you're young. Is it? And what about weight? Does weight
obesity is a risk factor for development of varicose veins and chronic venous insufficiency, which really means having veins in general that are not working properly.
So that there's some kind of malfunctioning of the venous flow that would lead you to then have these enlarged veins.
That's correct.
So besides, I mean, in my case, fortunately, I don't have pain. But I hear from so many people that these veins are killing them. I mean, they cause a lot of pain. But what else would be some symptoms that would accompany this problem?
So sometimes patients will present and say that their legs are hurting. And I think it's important for a physician to try to differentiate whether that pain is really related to the veins or related to another underlying problem. But once you identify that it is, in fact, the veins that is bothering the patient, it may be that they say that in the morning their legs feel fine and that by the end of the day their legs feel very heavy and achy. Sometimes they get itching over the veins. Sometimes they throb and ache. It may also vary depending upon a woman's menstrual cycle. Sometimes the veins are more painful during their menses than other times in the month. And it may also depend upon how much activity or how much they've been on their feet.
So it's worse if they sit or stand for a very long time, generally.
Correct.
But this is not just in women. Obviously, we're talking about women because of the whole pregnancy attachment. But the fact is, this happens in men as well.
It does happen in men. I just find that men will come in a little later. Usually when the men present complaining about their varicose veins, they're very advanced, and they're quite extensive.
And more extreme.
And then they're at more risk.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with vascular surgeon Dr. Palma Shaw, and we're talking about varicose veins. So they are a common problem. A lot of people have them. And it's always been in my estimation that they were not a sign of a more serious problem, but they can be, can't they?
They can be. First of all, if they're really giving the patient pain, that may actually affect their ability to work. It may affect their day-to-day life. And it's a quality of life issue. On a more serious note, patients who have varicose veins are also at greater risk for problems such as clots in the veins. So the superficial veins that are pooling with blood sitting there, that blood can clot, and then they will get pain, and then that clot could extend.
Tell us about that, because I know that they talk about thrombophlebitis. Tell me about some of the different possibilities that can occur.
So there are two different kinds. One is the superficial thrombophlebitis, which means a clot in the varicose veins that you see under the skin. And then there's deep veins that are affected that also can have thrombophlebitis, and those are the dangerous ones. It's dangerous when you get a clot in the deep vein system, the deeper veins that are encompassed within the muscles within the leg. And if the clot forms in those veins, it can break off and go to the lung, and then you can have a pulmonary embolism and you could die.
So let's get this straight. So because of the pooling of blood, because the veins don't work correctly, the blood sits there, clots can form, and especially in the deep veins, which is called deep vein thrombosis, that kind of pooling or those kinds of clots can, as you said, break off. They become what we call emboli once they break off, and they can travel through the body. Is it just the lungs that they go to? I know that's called a pulmonary embolus, but are there other types of problems as well, other parts of the body they can go to?
Most often they go to the lungs, but they also go through the heart to go to the lungs. So if there is an anomaly where there's a hole in the heart, even a small one that the patient's totally unaware of, then the clot can pass from the venous side of the body over to the arterial side of the body, and then the patient can actually have a stroke.
So that is very serious.
It is very serious, but it's not nearly as common as a pulmonary embolus.
So tell us what happens with a pulmonary embolus. What's the danger there?
Because that when the clot goes and blocks off the flow to a certain part of the lung, then you can't get enough oxygen. And then also the lung will respond by constricting. And so even the part that's blocked off will have an extra portion of the lung that's also not getting oxygen.
Does part of the lung tissue therefore then die? I mean, is there a danger to damaging your lungs as well?
I think it depends upon how much of the lung has been affected and how big the clot has been. But if the clot is large enough, then it can actually affect the heart, and you could die.
So basically, what kind of symptoms would you notice with a pulmonary embolus?
You may notice just shortness of breath with trying to be more active, or you may have severe chest pain.
So this is serious business.
That's very serious.
What kinds of treatments can we offer for just the standard garden variety varicose veins? I mean, are there home treatments? Is there lifestyle changes? What should people be doing for those?
So first we do prevention and we try to manage these things conservatively. We recommend the patients, if they're overweight, they lose weight, they exercise. And then we also prescribe support stockings, which I find to be very effective and very helpful. And I strongly encourage my patients to use them.
Those are compression stockings.
Correct.
That somehow, how does that help?
So the thing is that many patients have a misunderstanding about these stockings that so when they come in the office, they don't even want to wear them because they've had a bad experience. The stockings that I'm talking about that are actually a medical grade with a prescription stocking are actually measured for your specific leg. So you go to a fitting store or a pharmacy that dispenses stockings. They do special measurements on your leg, at your ankle, the calf, and the thigh, and the lengths. And then they prescribe a certain size. And then these stockings have certain compression strengths. So, for example, you might have what's a 30-millimeter compression at the foot and ankle, and then it decreases as it goes up to 20. The reason that's important is that it's a reverse gradient. So you've got damaged valves, you've got blood pooling, and gravity is pulling the blood down, and the stockings are pumping it up.
So they literally help the blood move up.
Correct.
And so that you avoid this idea of pooling and potential development of clots and all of that. And does it also alleviate pain?
Yes, and then the patients feel much better. They have more energy, and they have less swelling. Once you've undergone an adequate treatment time frame of the stockings, if the patient's not fully improved, then you could consider other therapies. So then we would do an ultrasound of the leg and see exactly what veins are involved and how damaged the valves are. If the saphenous system, which is the superficial system, is very damaged, there are treatments for that where we treat the saphenous vein. The old-fashioned way to do it was stripping, where we actually make incisions and tear out the vein. But the newest therapies are simply treated with a needle puncture, and we burn the vein, whether it's with radiofrequency energy or with a laser.
Is that called Sclerotherapy or laser surgery?
So the sclerotherapy is utilized for spider veins or spider telangiectasias. Those are the very tiny, less than 3 millimeter veins you see on the skin of the legs that can be treated with either a topical laser or injections with a soap solution or an irritant. Most of the time, those are actually cosmetic, and infrequently are they paid for by insurances.
So those are really cosmetic, not really for health reasons.
It's the larger varicose veins, more than 3 millimeters in size, that tend to be problematic. And when you want to treat those, you also have to determine whether you should treat the vein, the saphenous system as well, because that if that's diseased, it's feeding those varicose veins.
So the system, tell me about that very briefly. What do you mean by the system? You mean the entire network of veins that we're talking about?
So in the leg, the veins are set up such that it's almost like a ladder. So if you have two lines in parallel and then rungs between, you have a deep system in the middle of the leg and a superficial system towards the outer side of the leg under the skin, and then you've got connectors like rungs. So you have a deep system, a superficial system, and a perforator system. The majority of patients are affected by the superficial system that we can treat. So what we do is we would work that up, see if that particular vein is the problem, and we can treat that. We do only treat that vein if it's really diseased, because that is a vein that we use as vascular surgeons for heart bypass and also for leg bypasses. So we don't want to do that if the vein's not damaged. But if it is damaged, we have many new modalities to treat that.
What's something called a phlebectomy? What does that mean?
So once you determine whether or not you have to treat anything deeper, then you can treat the varicose veins that you see. And those we can treat with tiny little incisions where we tease out the vein and then we pull out the vein, hold pressure, and that will get rid of the vein.
Is anything done endoscopically as well? Or do you always have to do an open procedure?
There's another way to manage the varicosities. It's a transluminal approach where you actually put in a mechanism, almost like a little bit of a lens and a telescope with a machine that will actually morcellate the veins and chop up the veins and then suck it out.
Wow. So it's less invasive in a way?
I think it depends on how you look at it. I think they're equally invasive myself.
So when you talk about the ladder, just clarify that, because I'm not exactly clear what you said, the saphenous system and the ladder. Is the idea here to treat the superficial veins and not the deep veins?
Right, you need the deep veins. The deep veins carry 90% of the blood in your body.
So you don't want to mess with them.
You want that to work as well as possible.
Yeah.
But the superficial system, especially if it's not working to your advantage, can be removed or ablated, burned, or treated. And when we burn the vein, then the blood just gets rerouted
to the
deep system.
So the point is you're not without circulation.
Correct.
You really have full circulation. Then they can be treated.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the takeaway in the very little time we have left? What do you tell patients? What should they do?
I think they should be evaluated. They should be evaluated by a specialist. They have to be open to wearing support stockings and conservative measures. And then we have to do the workup to determine what's right for each patient.
Well, I want to thank you. This is very enlightening information, and many of us who suffer from varicose veins will be very grateful to have it. My guest has been Dr. Palma Shaw. She's an associate professor in the Department of Surgery in the Division of Vascular and Endovascular Surgery at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.